Today, market roller coaster drops on higher interest rate fears as AI bets fade. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. This is our important weekly market update. We start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. While last week AI drove most markets higher, concerns about accelerating inflation surged this week, triggering a spike in global bond yields amid the likelihood of higher for longer oil prices and higher interest rates. Traders also took some profits during the final Wall Street session of the week. Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett said bull capitulation to stocks and tech will likely be fully complete in the next few weeks, with early June ripe for profit taking. The global MSCI index was down 1.53% on Friday and down 0.6% for the week, while the Asia excluding Japan index dropped 3.65% and the European Stock 600 dropped 1.48%. The ASX 200 in Australia dropped another 1.3% for the week, to be down 3.52% over the past month. US President Donald Trump finished his two-day meeting with China's President Xi Jinping, which yielded, well, little headway with regard to reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Trump also said his patience with Iran was running out. Washington and Tehran remain locked in an impasse, and the Strait of Hormuz remains shut. The effective closure of the choke point by Iran since the start of the conflict at the end of February has led to the biggest oil supply disruption in history, and the clocks are ticking. It's not just oil. But Brent oil spiked back above $109 a barrel, while gold fell below $4,600 an ounce. There was no specific escalation in hostilities between the US and Iran, but it is becoming clear that there'll be no near-term resolution either, leaving the Strait of Hormuz effectively closed, well, indefinitely. Dutch natural gas prices rose 13.65% for the week, to be up 78% year-to-date. Sounds inflationary. And in fact, inflation data out of several European countries and the US this week show that there is a jump in energy costs, and that's appearing in consumer and producer prices, prompting investors to price in at least two rate hikes by the end of the year by the ECB. Reflecting this, bond markets also witnessed a sell-off. Indeed, US data this week showed a big impact of spiking energy prices in the US Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index reports for April. Both components together feed into the core personal consumption expenditures price index, which is widely seen as the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. The energy prices are hot and to be expected. The components of CPI, PPI, and import prices that feed directly into the PCI index suggest something that is a bit above a 0.6% monthly advance. That will give us a wickedly hot print of 3.6 to 3.7%. That's the hottest annual print since May 2023. That is being driven by a lot of the boost to inflation from the war in Iran, Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG in the US, said on X. So while AI sentiment can lift markets potentially further, the risks do seem to be shifting to the downside as the bond vigilantes are back, with bond markets selling off, with 10-year government note yields moving sharply higher across developed markets, including in the US by 11 basis points, Canada by 12 basis points, Germany by 12 basis points, France by 16 basis points, Italy by 17 basis points, and the UK by 18 basis points. The US 10-year yield was at 4.59%, and the Australian 10-year yield was at a massive 5.07%. The steep bond sell-off led to several milestones. The United Kingdom's 30-year gilt yield hit their highest level since 1998, while Japan's 30-year government bond yield reached its highest level on record. And government data from the Asian nation showed that producer price data for April rose at its fastest annual pace since May 2023, further supporting odds of a potential interest rate hike from the Bank of Japan. And the odds of the Federal Reserve hiking interest rates before July next year has moved up to 60%. And by the way, Friday also marked the final day of Jerome Powell's term as chairman of the Fed. Incoming chair Kevin Warsh is saddled with the potential need for a rate hike if a protracted Iran war leads to sticky inflation. US markets slipped, with the S&P 500 down 1.24%, with a spate of selling late in the day. Only energy rose, the other 10 sectors fell, after a remarkable run for US stocks, with the benchmark S&P 500 index and the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite recently posting a streak of record closes. The NASDAQ shed 1.5% to settle at 26,225, and the blue-chip Dow Jones Industrial Average slipped 1.1% to 49,526. Overall, it was a mostly muted weekly performance for the indices, with the S&P with a gain of 0.1%, and the NASDAQ and Dow fell 0.1% and 0.2% respectively. But just remember, the S&P 500 has climbed nearly 17% since this low of the year in late March, and is now more than 8% up across 2026. Investors took profits from tech darlings, including Nvidia and semiconductor stocks. Nvidia shed 4.4%, erasing its previous day's advance, but it's still up more than 5% over the past five sessions. And Microsoft got a boost from hedge fund billionaire Bill Ackman saying in a post on X that he's built a core holding in the software company. Its shares rallied more than 3%. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index slid 4%, dragged lower by stocks that have benefited from the AI hyperscaler phenomenon, but it's still up massively this year. Class A shares of Cerberus ended 10.1% lower just a day after soaring on the NASDAQ debut, underpinning record appetite for companies such as the chip designer that are expected to reap the biggest benefits of the artificial intelligence boom. Applied Materials slipped 0.9% despite the manufacture of chip-making tools delivering a quarterly revenue beat and issuing current quarterly guidance that was above expectations. The volatility index was up 6.72% to 18.42. The US dollar index also firmed on Friday amid the rise in expectations for interest rate hikes. A higher rate environment generally strengthens the greenback. The US dollar index futures was up 0.5% to 99.22. The euro US dollar was unchanged to 1.16, while the US dollar yen rose 0.3% to 158.77. European stocks fell sharply on Friday, pressurized by political instability in the UK and persistent uncertainty surrounding the Iran conflict. The pan-European stocks 600 fell 1.5%. Germany's DAX dropped 2.1%. France's CAC 40 slid 1.6%, while the FTSE 100 in the UK fell 1.8%. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer is facing a growing internal threat after a dire set of council elections last week, and as a parliamentary vacancy opened up a potential path for Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham, seen within Labour circles as a left-leaning rival, to enter the Commons. The opening followed a sitting Labour MP standing down, though Burnham's by-election prospects could be complicated by a strong challenge from Reform UK. And as a result of all this, sterling has been dragged down this week as well, set for a loss of more than 2%. It was actually down 0.6% to 1.3325 against the US dollar on Friday. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday as chip-making stocks were pressurized by doubts over the US, allowing more sales to China. Chinese markets fell further from multi-year highs as a second round of talks between President Xi Jinping and US President Donald Trump concluded with, well, no clear agreement. South Korean stocks were the worst performers, falling sharply after a US trade official said US chip export controls were not discussed in detail during recent talks. South Korea's KOSPI was by far the worst performer in Asia on Friday, tumbling 6.1% on steep losses in major chip-making stocks. Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix both tumbled between 7% and 9%, and they were the biggest weights on the KOSPI. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell 1% each, falling further from the respective 4.5 and 11-year highs that they hit earlier in the week. Broader Asian markets mostly fell, with Japan also coming under pressure after that hot inflation reading. Japan's Nikkei 225 slid 1.8%, while the TOPIX index lost 0.4% after data showed producer price index inflation blew past estimates in April. The print was largely driven by higher oil and chemical prices stemming from the Iran conflict, and it points to a broader increase in Japanese inflation, which could in turn elicit an interest rate hike from the Bank of Japan. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 1.6% on losses in local tech shares, while at the close, India's Nifty 50 declined 0.19%, and it's fallen 2.2% across the week. The Australian share market fell on Friday as profit takers in mining dragged the index lower at the end of a week in which investors were focused on the federal budget. The ASX 200 ended down 0.1% at 8,630.8, with two of the 11 sectors weaker. The benchmark was also down 1.3% for the week. Materials fell about 3% on Friday as copper retreated from a record high on signs that the rally was dampening Chinese demand. BHP fell 2.6% to $60.46 after three consecutive record closures, while Rio Tinto dropped 3.2% to $185.75, snapping a four-day session run of all-time highs. Gold miner Evolution Mining tumbled 5.5% to $12.50, and lithium player Liontown dropped 6% to $2.35. Mineral Resources was the worst performer as it dived 7.7% to $64.77, after Managing Director Chris Ellison sold 1.75 million shares worth about $122.5 million in his first on-market disposal in 9 years. Elsewhere, technology was the strongest as Xero rebounded 8.1% to $79.67 after falling 9% in the previous session. WiseTech Global was up 3.7% to $38.01 and Megaport by 2.4% to $12.88. Adding to a 28% rally on Thursday, Technology One was at $28.36. Bargain hunters returned to financials after a profit miss and worries about negative gearing changes sparked a record loss on Thursday for the Commonwealth Bank. It rose 1.9% on Friday to $159.40. NZ added 1.1% to $35.21, and Westpac rose by 0.3% to $35.84. National Australia Bank was up 0.3% to $36.52, and Macquarie was at $242.96. Vicinity Centres rose 1.6% to $2.51 after it struck a $400 million deal to acquire the Eastern Creek Quarter retail precinct in Western Sydney from Fraser's Property. Settlement is set for June the 30th. Treasury Wine Estate added 1.9% to $4.25 after French billionaire Olivier Goudet lifted its stake in Australia's biggest wine company, spending $31 million to take his holding from 8.14% to 9.04%. And Bapcor slid 6% to 40 cents after Citi downgraded the automotive parts group to sell and slashed earnings forecasts by as much as 83%. And Ventia climbed 2.2% to $6.03 after its maintenance services contract was renewed with Yarra Valley Water in a deal valued at $405 million over 9 years. The Aussie was at $71.47 US cents and 53.64 UK pence, but the 10-year Aussie bond was at 5.118 and the 2-year was at 4.792. Mortgage rates, they will go higher. Whilst the budget measures of rolling back CGT and negative gearing on property were much needed, the budget was a complete overreach. As Christopher Joy noted in the AFR, Australia increasingly resembles an oligarchy run for the benefit of those who control it, that is, those who directly or indirectly work for the government. He wrote, "The playbook is simple. You expand the size of the government as much as possible, putting as many bureaucrats on the payroll as you can, who will, of course, vote for you. Then you grant residency and citizenship to as many foreigners as possible, who are also likely to lend support at the polling booth. Finally, you financially conflict the rest of the electorate by spending as much money as you can to buy votes where you need to. Once you've compromised as much of the communities you can with these bribes, you secure a high probability of remaining in power in perpetuity. This strategy was executed massively by Daniel Andrews in Victoria and has been dutifully emulated by other governments ever since. It explains a lot. The huge growth in public spending is demonstrably inflationary, which will only make the Reserve Bank of Australia's job harder. If rates lift even further and Australia eventually confronts a recession, the government's headline budget deficit, expected to be an astonishing $64 billion in 26-27, will only get bigger. The risk is that this just emboldens more tax hikes, targeting businesses and entrepreneurs, higher corporate taxes, death taxes, income taxes, and ultimately an attempt to tax the one final target that remains unaffected, the owner-occupied home. Not good, as I discussed with Tarek Brooker yesterday. Check it out. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin is back, snapping a six-week running streak as hotter-than-expected US inflation data, along with few breakthroughs from President Donald Trump's high-stakes visits to China, weighed on risk sentiment. Still, in a positive development for cryptocurrencies this week, a US Senate committee advanced key legislation in what could be a landmark move for the industry. The world's largest crypto slipped to 77,995, and for the week, it was headed for a loss of around 3%. That said, the US Senate Banking Committee on Thursday voted in the 15-9 decision to advance the Clarity Act, setting up the legislation for a vote before the full Senate. The bill seeks to establish a sweeping regulatory framework for the US crypto industry, a move long sought by proponents of the industry, but the bill is still expected to face stiff opposition, especially from the banking lobby, which has repeatedly called for more curbs on yield payments on stablecoins. Some unions and law enforcement agencies have also argued that the bill could hurt consumers and financial institutions. The Clarity Act now requires that it be first considered by the Senate Agriculture Committee before a full Senate vote can take place. The bill will also need the support of at least 60 members, so it still needs to clear the full Senate, reconcile three versions, the Senate Banking, Senate Agriculture, and House, and reach presidential approval. That's a thornier path than the Genius Act faced. Broader crypto prices fell on Friday in tandem with Bitcoin, and they were mostly headed for a weekly decline as well. World number two crypto Ether fell 3.4% to $2,169, and it was down 5% for the week. XRP edged 4.3% lower. Next week in Australia, the highlight will be April's job report on Thursday. NAB says that it's expecting the economy to add around 15,000 jobs and the unemployment rate to remain unchanged at 4.3%, but we'll see. And Sarah Hunter, Reserve Bank of Australia Assistant Governor Economic, is scheduled to speak at the Bloomberg Forum for Investment Managers. Later that morning, the RBA is set to release the minutes from its latest policy meeting. And we're going to get more results from the US, including Nvidia, after the US market closes on Wednesday. But the focus will likely be on the inflation pulse and the fallout from Trump's Middle East expeditions. Like a carbuncle on an old friend, you simply can't ignore it. Markets, be warned. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.